When I think about summertime, I always think about the childhood fun that some of us have. And I want to extend that into adulthood too. This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm an author and a holistic writing coach who talks with today's top women writers about how to navigate life when things don't go according to plan. These impactful conversations and personal reflections invite you to be seen, feel supported, and ultimately fall back in love with yourself. So let's go together to that honest, powerful place, the heart of the story. Hi, friends. I know that the official start of summer isn't for another few weeks, but in anticipation of the mayhem that typically is summertime, I wanted to talk with you about how to stay sane during this summer, because really I think of the time between Memorial Day and Labor Day as summertime vibes. And I know I'm not alone in the fact that I look at summer the way I tend to look at the winter holidays, which is that I always think I have more time than I actually do, and I always think it's going to be more idyllic than it actually is. So just like we put all these expectations on winter holidays, we also put expectations on summertime. Maybe in your head, you're thinking it's going to be this glorious set of experiences where it's going to be picnics and beach days and fireworks and going to bed late and maybe sleeping in and lemonade and reading on the porch and all these wonderful things that almost kind of bring you back to childhood. When you face the reality that every day is not like that, and that those idyllic days are part of the larger time that is summertime, but not all of it, really makes us think about how we can adjust our perception and perspective of what summertime is so that it can actually be more enjoyable than it's been in the past, and so that you're not seething with bitterness and resentment when the summer just seems to flash by you and you're stressed and overwhelmed or didn't get to do nearly all the things you wanted to do. I want to save us from that. And I've been able to do it with wintertime, and I'm going to apply the same strategies to summertime. So I used to teach at a university, and so winter break always meant 5 weeks off, or at least that's what I thought. In my calendar, it looked like five blank weeks, but almost every winter I taught the intensive, what they called J term or January term, which was a 3-week intensive online class. So, okay, that left 2 weeks. And out of those 2 weeks, my son was home from school and we were prepping for holidays and sometimes traveling or having visitors. And so actually we had even less time than we did on non-holiday time. And yet every year I would look ahead at those 5 weeks and go, oh, I'm going to get so much writing done. I'm going to have some solo time. Why I thought this, I don't know, because it wasn't actually true. And so I shifted the way that I do things now, and I take a week to myself at the start of every January. I leave my home and my loved ones, and I go away by myself. And I actually do the writing I say I want to do, and I actually have the downtime that I so desperately need. If you're curious about that time and what it looks like, I call it a workcation because I am working on the creative projects that actually matter to me during this vacation of sorts. I'll link those in the show notes, as well as the joy of solo travel. It's everything to me. So I've figured this out for wintertime, and now here's what I've figured out for summertime about not only how to stay sane, but actually experience delight because all those things that a child might be experiencing during the summer, we want to experience it too. We want to have more lounge time. We want to have reading time or time at the beach or this sense of fun. We want that too for ourselves. And kids shouldn't be the only ones who get that. I know that we orchestrate the experience for other people, some of us, but we shouldn't just be the orchestrators. We should be able to relish in some of these experiences as well and not just be in this state of bitterness and resentment and overwhelm because we're not actually getting to do the things we want to do. So there are six different steps that I've identified that help to not only stay sane, but also increase the possibility of delight during your summertime. The very first step is this: discern the amount of time you actually have. Seems very simple, but it is a game changer. I did this recently with a memoir mastermind group that I'm leading, and we were setting summer writing goals. And I had the women take out their calendars and look ahead at the summer season to actually figure out how much time they truly had. And their eyes were popping out at this realization because in our minds, like in my mind, I'm like, Memorial Day to Labor Day, that's summer break. No, it's not. And there is no break, quote unquote. My summers are determined by my son's summer schedule. And so that designates what my calendar actually looks like for summer and how much time we have. In Illinois, when he went to school there, summer break began in mid-June and went through towards the end of August. And now that we're in Florida, he gets out of school May 24th, my friends. Yes, he graduates from fifth grade on May 24th, before Memorial Day. And he goes back to school this year, August 12th. But last year, he went back August 7th. This is torture. In August, I don't want to be thinking about school. In my mind, school should be happening after Labor Day. But with this realization of what summer break actually looks like for him, that then determines how much time we have and when that time is. And then further, once you factor in all the other things, you start going, okay, maybe I don't have 12 or 14 glorious weeks. I actually have more like 8 or 4 or 2 that have a different rhythm than the rest of the year. Maybe your summer actually looks pretty similar to the other parts of the year, but you've been imposing what summer should be onto your schedule and it's causing you a lot of mayhem. So really think about how much time you actually have to do the things you want to do after you factor in some of the main components. So what does your work schedule look like? What does your family life schedule look like? What does your travel or visits, other people coming to visit you, look like? Ideally, what we're trying to figure out is, where is my unstructured time, my free time, my play time, where I actually might be able to do what I want to do? And I'm going to prioritize that before anything else starts to creep in on this and fill it up. And so you might even work backwards if you don't already have things on the calendar and you want to make sure that your time comes first before anything else. I talked about this in the last episode about the 4,000 weeks. Maybe you put that in, then you put any other things in the calendar. So figure out how much time you're actually working with in terms of unstructured free time. And then two, speaking of structure, I want you to look at structure in two ways. It is both the blessing and the curse. Here's what I mean by that. When we think summer, we think about the unstructured days. And we think about them in this really nostalgic way. We think about it in like, oh, just relaxing. Unstructured time can be a nightmare for some people. And maybe you're that person. I am that person. Maybe too much structured time can be a nightmare for you. My husband is that person. It's an interesting household. I will never forget when we were planning our honeymoon after our wedding in Maine. We gave each other 2 days to plan. And so I took 2 days, he took 2 days. We weren't going to tell each other what our plans were. And we were just going to surprise each other. We knew it was going to be in Maine somewhere. So I planned our 2 days to the max. I had a stay at a lodge near Moosehead Lake. We took a moose safari. We went to the cute downtown and the different shops. I had it all planned out. We got to Jamie's part and he's like, all right, it's now my turn. We are going to just drive the coast and we'll find a hotel on our way. We're just going to see the sights, and wherever our attention might bring us, that's where we'll stay overnight. This was August in Maine. That is their prime month. Everyone who's going to go to Maine, they go in August. We had our dog with us. We had to find a pet-friendly hotel in peak season in Maine. To me, that was a nightmare. That did not feel like a honeymoon. As we were driving around, I couldn't calm down because we didn't actually have any plan. It all worked out. It was fine. It was beautiful. It was lovely. But it just showed our two different approaches when it comes to structure. So here's what I've come up with. What works for me is having some structure and then having what I call structured spontaneity or planned spontaneity. For me, Sundays are structured spontaneity. On that day, I have planned that anything goes. Anything goes on a Sunday. Sunday is whatever we decide to do on Sunday, great. If every day was like that, I would hate it. What do I do with Gio? How to keep him entertained? Is he going to go down to a friend's house? Is he going to have friends over? How am I going to juggle work too? What's happening with the meals? What's going on? I mean, it's never ending and it causes me immediate stress and I don't like it and I don't want anything to do with it. When we went on our 3-month road trip in our Airstream camper, we knew where we were going. We had our states picked out where we were going to go and some of the campgrounds picked out. But every day was like, Mom, what should I do? Do you think I could do this? Mom, I am hungry. I heard I am hungry 19 times a minute. Like, and I was trying to work from the road. Okay, you get the idea. So figure out what your structure is going to be and when you are going to have loose days and when you want to actually have some things planned, because the plan will make all the difference. For me, yes, this starts in February. Unfortunately for parents is when summer camp openings open up. It's ridiculous. But for me, it was okay. This week he has this camp, that week he has this camp. And it's not that I want him gone all hours of the day. I told you some of these camps are 3 hours long, which I think is kind of ridiculous. You go there, drop off, turn around and have to come back. But having a kid entertained for 3 to 4 hours on a summer day, that's a good thing. They come home tired. They want to relax. That is a good thing. So summer camp created this structure in our household. It also tells me that most camps don't meet on Friday. So that's going to be a day where maybe we'll have some really good family bonding time or Mama Geo days if Jamie's at work. And so that structure determined what our weeks are going to look like. And then number three is this. Rather than envisioning what you think this summer is going to be like, think about your past and research it for evidence of what has actually brought you some joy. So when you think about the things that have actually brought you joy, that is going to determine what likely will bring you joy in the future, right? And so when you examine this, you're going to see some real kind of aha moments where it's like, okay, well, maybe you think that this beach day is going to be great, but then you look back and you realize that every time you go to that particular beach, it's like an hour of packing time and then driving, and there's never parking over there, and then there's no shade, and then everybody's hot and cranky, and there's actually no public restroom, and so on and so forth. And so you realize that that's, while in your head it seems like an idyllic experience, it actually isn't. So you start thinking about prioritizing the things that have brought you joy in the past, because they're going to bring you joy in the future. And how can you think about more things like that? Okay. Even, for example, when I think about travels, when I think about vacation, usually for family vacations, it's amazing bonding time, and we make so many good memories together as a family. But if I put the expectation on it that it's going to be relaxing, 9 times out of 10, it isn't. It just isn't, because I'm still in mom mode and I'm planning things and we're making memories, but I'm not giving myself rest. So if I expect rest from it, I'm going to be bitter and angry and resentful. And this is where I think we get it wrong sometimes. We're putting the wrong expectations on particular experiences. So when I looked ahead at this upcoming summer, there's a big trip that I've been wanting to do for over a decade. I've had it on my list for a very, very long time. And at first we talked about maybe doing a family thing. We are part of this group that has travel points, but it didn't have points at good places like condos or anything in that particular area. And then I learned about a yoga retreat that was going to be happening in the exact area I had been dreaming about for a very long time. And no, I'm not telling you where it is, because you're going to have to listen in the future and you'll hear where it is. I'm going abroad, my friends, this summer, me, just me by myself. And I'm meeting up with a group of people, some of which I know. But when I really looked at how I wanted to spend a little bit of time and how I wanted to feel for this particular experience, I wanted to explore and feel relaxed. And I knew that that was better portioned for a solo experience. Whereas if I want to have memory making, that's a different kind of experience. It's not a relaxing experience when we're doing the family memory making. Sometimes it is, but the goal is having adventures and making memories. So think about that when you think about the evidence of the past showing you how you want to spend your time this summer. Number 4 is taking yourself to summer camp. So my question is this, which is, why are the kids having all the fun? What happened to us having fun? What happened to us being able to experience joy and delight? And this is where I really think about it too, is how do I want to model any of these things for my son? How do I want to model the fact that fun and rest are our birthrights, that animals have fun, they wrestle and they are silly. Animals also rest, right? And we forget as humans that we can do that, and as adults that we still get to do that. So when I think about summertime, I always think about the childhood fun that some of us have. And I want to extend that into adulthood too. So one of the things that I'm doing when I go on this trip abroad is that I'm doing some things that feel very, very fun to me. Again, I will share more about that in our next season of episodes in just a few weeks. But yeah, fun. Remember that thing? Read Catherine Price's book on fun if you need any sort of nudging in this area. And that also makes me think about the fact that because of this idea, why do kids get to have the only fun and why can't adults have summer camp? It made me create a set of summer workshops that are like virtual summer camp for adults, including some classes that I am co-leading this summer. So if you want to get on the wait list for those, you can find out more over at nadinekennyjohnstone.com/contact. I'll put the link in the show notes. You can get on the wait list. So what does fun look like for you? And is there anything you can do to experience the summer camp kind of feeling for yourself? Is there a fun hobby you want to dedicate some time to? One summer, I took an art class while my son was taking an art camp class. So, number five, connection is key. When I think about summer, I want it to be not just about maybe feeling a bit more freedom and flexibility in my schedule, but I want to look at it as a chance to connect with people I haven't seen in a while. So in the couple of trips that we are doing this summer, the whole point of them is to see loved ones, some of whom I haven't seen in a very long time, and to do meetups. I always try to see who is nearby that I can also see when we're in this place. And sometimes it's not only family and friends, but people I've only ever met online, but I want to meet in person. Last year, we had a Chicagoland meetup for my women's writer workout community because these women, we've been together for years now virtually, and we wanted to meet each other in person. This summer, we're doing another one in July, so we'll get to see each other. A few years ago, when we were traveling in our Airstream and we knew we were going to go to Maine to see Jamie's parents, I also made it a point to reach out to the podcast producer of this very show, Michelle, who lives in Maine, and I had only ever spoken to on the phone and via Zoom. And I said, hey, can we meet each other like in person? We'll be in Maine during these dates. Will you be around? And it so bonded our relationship. And I tried to use our time as connection time, reunion time, meetup time. We have a group of friends now in Door County that we see every summer. And even though we won't be in Door County, Wisconsin all summer long, though I wish we could be, we are going to see them for a brief time over the summer. And I also, on my trip abroad, am going to see one of my relatives from Ireland who is coming to meet up with me for a couple of days. No, I'm not going to Ireland, but my relative is flying to meet me at a certain place. So this is the joy of using summertime as connection time, reunion time, and meetup time. Lastly, with all that meeting up, you're going to need some solo time. So can you look ahead and think about what that will actually look like for you, especially if your schedule is going to be a little bit different than it typically is? So if you're a parent who is used to having solo time between 8:30 and 2:30 every day while your kid is at school and suddenly they're home at all hours of the day, what is solo time going to look like for you? And what hard conversations or necessary conversations might you have to have with loved ones or family members about asking for help? Hey, can you watch the kid during this time so I can have this amount of time to myself? And sometimes you might feel the need to say, I'm taking this class, or I'm going to work out, or oh, I'm going to go do work, when really you just want some time to yourself, or you say you're going to Target because you need to do shopping, when really just what you want is to not have anyone in your ear for an hour. And if you have to do that at first, fine. But hopefully at some point you can say, can you come watch them? Because I really just need time to myself. And if you don't have kids at home, thinking about maybe you have a partner who's around a lot, or you have people who are visiting, and can you make it a point to set it up at the beginning proactively rather than reactively to say, hey, like, for example, when we have visitors, sometimes I'll say up front, you know, I'm going to be busy from this time to this time, so feel free to take a beach chair and go down to the beach, entertain yourself, but I'm not going to be free during these times, so go do whatever you need to do. And that's a totally understandable thing, right? Well, why can't we do that and also build in solo time into that? I loved when my friend Cheryl came to visit. She knows how important it is to tend to the soul. And so she would take her beach chair and go do beach time. And I knew that it was so important to her to have some solo time out on the beach. And then we would spend some time together. And then at one point we went down and took a beach walk together. And I said, before we left, I said, hey, I need some like journaling, little alone time just to gather my thoughts. And so when you go for a walk, I'm just going to sit here in my beach chair with my journal. And she totally understood. She didn't take it offensively. She knew that it wasn't me saying, I don't want to be around you. It was saying, I need some time with myself like I always do, regardless of whether I have visitors or not. This is my cherished time. And so while not every guest may be understanding of that, if you anticipate this need, can you schedule it in and proclaim it at the beginning of whatever visit so that it's not a surprise? So sometimes I'll say, hey, I totally want to go meet up together, but I'm probably gonna chill out in the afternoon for a little bit, just to give you a heads up. So I'll be able to do some sightseeing during the day, but afternoon I'm gonna relax. Just saying that is so much better than being around the visitors, or maybe you're a visitor, being around the hosts and sitting there stewing because you can't do yet another hour of connecting because you need some time to yourself, much as you may love the other people, right? All good things to think about this solo time. The theme of all of this is proactive rather than reactive. Proactive rather than reactive. Looking ahead, setting some boundaries, making some plans, creating some structures, setting clear expectations with yourself, realistic expectations for yourself and others, so that you can spend your time intentionally. So proactive rather than reactive, intentional time. Okay? Those six steps again were: what time do you really have? Assessing your time. Structure, the blessing and the curse. How much structure do you need or want? Three was evidence, looking at evidence of the past of what has actually brought you joy and what hasn't. Notice what hasn't brought you joy so you can plan less of that. Four was taking yourself to summer camp. How can you build in fun for yourself? Fun is not just for kids. Five is who can you connect with this summer? And then six is solo time, creating really clear boundaries around solo time. I hope, my friends, that you stay sane this summer, but also experience a great amount of delight. I would love to hear all about it. So let me know on Instagram. I'm at Nadine Kenny Johnstone, and I'll be letting you know via Instagram and this podcast and my newsletter what I'm up to. If you want to know before anybody else does what my summer plans are and then hear from me while I'm actually traveling, my newsletter community is the first to know. So go over to my website, NadineKennyJohnstone.com, and sign up for my newsletter. And that's how you'll know all the travel goodies before anybody else. I'll also put the link in the show notes so that you can see how to sign up. And remember, the summer classes that I'm having, you can get on the wait list over at my website as well. Thank you to Michelle Rado, who I got to see in Maine a few summers ago, and it made all the difference. We will be taking a break in the upcoming weeks for a few weeks, and then I'll be back right here. I'll be announcing that break in the next weeks, a little blurb, but I just wanted to tell you here too, so you can prep for it. I hope you'll give yourself a break as well. Remember, everyone, every heart has a story, and every story has a heart. Talk soon.